Good morning. This is Jim and Pat Sanders for Farm and Country, and our program is For the Birds.
And the rose-breasted grosbeaks that brought a splash of color to our feeders are among the 162 species that have already migrated to Central and South America to winter in countries that are major coffee-growing areas.
When the Dutch introduced coffee to the New World in the 1700s, it was a forest floor crop grown under an overhead tree canopy. But in the 1970s, as market pressures and disease and pests hurt coffee crops, many coffee-growing countries incentivized the use of modern varieties of coffee grown in full sun. Sun-grown coffees offered the hope of better yields and disease resistance, but there were costs to this conversion, mostly due to the clearing of forest lands for coffee growing. For example, from the 1970s to the 1990s, more than 60% of Colombian coffee lands were deforested as new varieties of sun-grown coffee were planted. During that same period, populations for many neotropical migrant species plummeted, a drop many scientists say is related to deforestation of the birds' wintering areas across Central and South America.
And other problems have developed too. Sun coffee is often grown as a monoculture that uses heavy doses of pesticides and fertilizers, which turns the coffee farm into an ecological desert. There are impacts to humans, too, as sun-grown coffee often requires the removal of trees from steep mountain slopes, thereby causing erosion, runoff of contaminated water, and landslides. Sun-grown farming does produce more beans than shade-grown methods, but the coffee tends to be lower in quality, which means lower prices. Shade-grown coffee, on the other hand, can have lower production costs due to a lesser need for artificial fertilizers, because decaying leaf litter feeds the coffee plants, and pesticides, because trees attract birds that eat bugs, like the coffee farmer's arch enemy, the coffee borer. And the final bean yields a better tasting cup of coffee, which can mean a higher price per pound.
Now, some tropical coffee farmers are going back to the old ways in the belief that shade trees make for higher quality coffee. They're willing to grow coffee in a forest setting, and that's where coffee drinkers like us need to get involved. Coffee is an extremely powerful commodity, reigning as the world's most heavily traded product behind petroleum, and it's the largest food import of the United States. The American consumer, therefore, directly affects how coffee is grown in the tropics when they buy coffee that's rated organic, fair trade, and shade grown. So we can see that we need not only think about and protect habitat for birds here in the United States, but also protect their winter habitats. Coffee farms engaged in shade growing can support approximately 150 species of migratory birds, providing them with shelter and sustenance for their long journeys.
Some of the birds that are affected are warblers like the Canada, Cerulean, Blackburnian, and Tennessee warblers, as well as rose-breasted grosbeaks and summer tanagers. Of special interest in our area is the golden-winged warbler, a species that's close to endangered and that the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service is working with landowners is trying to preserve.
So, when you're buying coffee, look for the bird-friendly designation, which means that it is triple certified, meeting organic, fair trade, and shade-grown standards. This coffee is guaranteed to support bird habitat. You can order these coffees online. You can Google bird-friendly coffee or look up Beans and Birds, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology offering, or pick up a bag at a specialty store near you. Think about that wood thrush you saw in summer that has flown perhaps 1,000 miles or more to its wintering grounds in those coffee-growing countries. And remember that its survival depends on our actions, not only here at home, but in communities across the hemisphere. So when you buy coffee, think about the birds, and like us, be for the birds. We hope you've enjoyed this week's segment. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future programs, you can email us at forthebirds@farmandcountry.org. This has been Pat and Jim Sanders of the Northeast Pennsylvania Audubon Society, and we're For the Birds.